ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
I got it already.
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12. Today's verse will be 13. Ayu Shri Kirti Aishwaryam Ashisha Purushasya Ya Vavantyeva Hitatkale Yatan Nichor Viparyaya Ayu Longevity Shri Opulence Kirti Fame Aishwaryam Power Ashisha Benedictions Purushasya of the living entity, ya which pavanti arise, eva indeed, he certainly, tatkali at that proper time, yata just as, anicho of one not desiring. Viparyaya, reverse conditions. Translation. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them his mercy. Please repeat. Just as a person not inclined to die, must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them by his mercy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is not good to be falsely puffed up, saying that by one's own effort one has become opulent, learned, beautiful, and so on. All such good fortune is achieved through the mercy of the Lord. From another point of view, no one wants to die, and no one wants to be poor or ugly. Therefore, why does the living entity, against his will, receive such unwanted troubles? It is due to the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one gains or loses everything material. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent on the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Lord. There is a common saying in Bengal that the Lord has 10 hands. This means that he has control everywhere, in the 8 directions and up and down. If he wants to take everything away from us with his 10 hands, we cannot protect anything with our 2 hands. Similarly, if he wants to bestow benedictions upon us with his 10 hands, we cannot factually receive them all with our 2 hands. In other words, the benedictions exceed our ambitions. The conclusion is that even though we do not wish to be separated from our possessions, sometimes the Lord forcibly takes them from us, and sometimes he showers such benedictions upon us that we are unable to receive them all. Therefore, either in opulence or in distress, we are not independent. Everything is dependent on the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ayu Shri Kirti Aishwaryam Ashisha Purushasya Bhavantyeva Hitat Kale Yatani Chor Viparyaya. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them by his mercy. It's quite a list, isn't it? Longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else. When you actually list it out, what you lose when you leave your body, it becomes a little more... one becomes a little more aware of the trauma that's involved. So I like my longevity. Everyone's thinking about extending their life, not shortening it. And certainly people look for opulence, fame. And all those just get taken back at the time of death. And similarly, the implication is here that you're not asking for them to be taken away, but they are. And then, of course, we have the opulences which are bestowed at a particular time. And both these circumstances are beyond our control. They're in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a devotee is one who recognizes this and adjusts his or her mentality accordingly, his or her attitude towards life, and the way he or she deals with the circumstances that naturally come to us in this world. And this is something that Narada Muni also advises in various ways in the Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter. He gives advice similar to this. It's worth repeating because the nuance of this is important and has gone into quite elaborately in the Bhagavatam in various places. So, first canto, fifth chapter, Narada Muni says, Tasyaiva heto prayate tako vido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyata talabhyate dukavaranyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa. Similar statement, he says that an intelligent person, a kovida, one who's learned, is the meaning of one who's learned, is able to see the world in the way that he's about to describe. Tasyaiva heta prayate ko vido. He sees that there's a higher purpose to life than just trying to adjust himself to the changing circumstances that naturally come in this world. Interestingly how, over time, a person who's famous and honored then suddenly becomes infamous and a pariah. This happens in the course of time in the material world. It's a natural thing. So, tasyaiva heta prayateta kovido nalabhite yad brahmatamu pariyada. He says, does Narada, that just as distress comes of its own accord, which is something that everybody can relate to, that distress comes without asking for it. Oftentimes when good things come, when opulences arrive at our doorstep, we think, yeah, of course, I'm so smart. I organized it like this, you know, smarter than everybody else. But when distress comes, it's embarrassing. When things are taken away, it's like, well, how'd that happen? So Narada's saying they're equal. The jest in the way that distress comes without you asking for it or praying for it, which most people don't, except for maybe Queen Kunti. So similarly, the awards, the rewards of material life, they come automatically as well. So tasyaiva heta prayateta kovido nalabhite yad brahmatam upariyada talabhyate dukavaranyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira rambasa. Kalena sarvatra. So this word kalena, it also relates to this statement in today's verse that says tatkale, at the proper time. I have no control over that when the proper time is, but kalina sarvatra kapira ramasa, because in the course of time, wound up in the cosmic manifestation and the great intelligence of the Lord, the time factor awards my happiness and distress exactly the way it's meant to be. In fact, this is described early on in the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter. At the beginning of creation, says Sutta Goswami, Asau gunamayera bhavera bhuta sukshmendriyatmabhi svaninamiteshu nirvishto bhunte bhuteshu tadgunan. At the beginning of creation, the Lord enters in with into every atom and in within the heart of every living entity. And he does this just to award the happiness and distress that the living entity wants in the material world. In fact, interestingly, at the time of complete devastation, when living entities enter back into Mahavishnu for a very deep sleep called Susupti, where there's no dreaming, when they come back out after billions of years, when Mahavishnu exhales, then the Lord enters within their heart and he reminds them, this is what you wanted in the material world. And so there's an awareness. The Lord has an awareness of each living entity's particular desires to enjoy in the material world and then makes an arrangement. And this is not his will, but the independent will of the living entities desiring to do this. This is something that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita in a couple of verses in the fifth chapter. Nakartivam nakarmani lokasya srijati prabhu. Nakartivam nakarmani lokasya srijati prabhu. In this verse, he's saying, Nakartritvam Nakarmani Lokasya Sujati Prabhu. The karma of the living entities is not created by me. I'm not causing anybody to do anything. It's due to the independent will of the living entities to do that. Second part? Nakarma Pala Samyogam. Svabhavas tu pravartate. Because of the interaction the living entity has with the material nature, these things are coming about, but they're overseen by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the next verse, Nadate kashchit papam natasya nachaiva sukitam vibhu. So Krishna's, in this verse, he's called vibhu, means that he's the great one, the overseer of everything. So he's watching, and he's named in the 13th chapter of the Gita as the overseer and permitter. So there's a way in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is aware of everything that's happening. He's allowing it to go on, but that's because he gives free choice to the living entity. This is very philosophical. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostinapriya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. So this he says in the Gita, I'm equal to everybody. Samoham sarvabhuteshu, and I don't envy anybody. He's above the fray in the material world. But if one turns one's attention towards him, he said, then you live within me, and I'm within you. And there's a very deep reciprocation between the living entity and Krishna in the bhakti. So, Narada says also, in this fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam, following the verse I mentioned, of what an intelligent person is one who doesn't endeavor for stopping suffering and also doesn't try to get more material enjoyment. Because that person understands these things are going to come in due course of time, whether I try for them or I don't try for them. Therefore, Narada says, try for devotional service, because that's the one thing that you can actually make progress with in this world. And then he says, Tekva sudharmam charanam bujam harer bhajana pakfo ta patet tato yadi yatra kwa babajam abuda mushikim kovarta apta bhajatam sudharmata. And that means that he says that if you try for devotional service, even though you're apakfa, you're not completely ready for it, and you happen to fall away from the process because you weren't ready for it all, so still there's no loss. You jump for the bar and you missed, but anyway you jumped. The forward progress is counted, and you get that. It emphasizing how important it is to do devotional service. And then he mentions in the next verse that if someone takes the devotional service and then falls away, such a person isn't like an ordinary person who's entangled in material nature because he remembers the Lord again and again, even though he's been estranged by falling away from the process of devotional service. So the attitude of the devotee is that in due course of time, if I keep my integrity in devotional service, this is the point of power for the devotee, sincerity and integrity. That if I mind my own integrity, that is to sincerely try to advance in devotional service. This would start with chanting Hare Krishna sincerely with attention and making a prayer to the Lord that please let me surrender. This is actually the main duty or the only duty of every living entity is to make this prayer again and again very directly and also through one's activities in life. And as a person develops such a sincere desire to surrender to the Lord and recognizes it in him or herself that, oh, I actually want to surrender. I'd like to do this. For instance, when you're chanting, you can review before or make a stop in the middle and review the 10 offenses and things and think, am I willing to observe these? For instance, to not maintain material desires even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. And if one very deliberately thinks, yes, I want to give up these so that I can surrender to Krishna. This creates integrity within the devotee that I know for myself that this is my intention. For such a person who goes on practicing devotional service, there's no actual disturbance from the comings and goings of fortune or misfortune in this world, because he or she sees that this is inconsequential. Philosophically, it's mentioned again and again in the Shastra that a devotee is destroying karma. In fact, alluded to in this verse is a statement Krishna directly makes that surprises everyone. Yasyaham anagrinnami harishe tadanam shanay tato danam tajantyeva swajano swajana paradukadukitam. He says that when I show my favor to my devotee, I take away his wealth. And then he becomes rejected by all his friends and relatives. They think, what good are you anymore? And he then is free to take full shelter of Krishna. So in that, taking away or giving, and sometimes he also gives, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions in commentary to this verse, which is from the 10th canto, 88th chapter, 8th verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when a devotee is awarded something by the Lord, or whether it's taken away, the result is there's no residue. In fact, it helps the devotee to become detached from the material world and develop more sincerity in worshiping Krishna. Whereas for a materialistic person who doesn't have that sincerity and integrity, there's a residue. One becomes more entangled in the material world because of being awarded something or having it taken away. So the power is in understanding that my relationship with the Lord is friendly, and that Krishna is my well-wisher. And all the ways in which the world around me is moving are being observed by Krishna. He knows what's good for me and what's not, and he's arranging these things. And one who thinks, whatever happens, yes, this is correct. We just read this last night. Prabhupada says, when the Lord arranges something, takes something away, gives something, then the devotee thinks, yes, this is correct. This is the mentality of the devotee. This is correct. And that's one point. Another point is this very important phrase, tatkale. Tatkale, when the time is right, the result will come. This engenders patience. One has to be patient and understand Krishna is all-powerful and he's also all-merciful and he knows what's going on. He knows how to manage things. So don't get too involved in it. Do your part. Do your duty. And this is the mood of Vritrasura here. He understands the scheme of things. He knows the Lord's behind this, therefore it's going to work. And I'm just going to do my duty, the best that I can do with what I have now. Can you do any more than that anyway? Say no. Don't you feel better now? Yeah, you can't do more than that. All you can do is have integrity, spiritual integrity and sincerity, and do the best you can with what you have now, and depend on Krishna for the rest. Because you can't induce material nature to cough up, you know, what you want. That's a scientific process. Get out a crowbar and let's yank it out. Devotees don't do that. So Krishna's in control and I can't do anything anyway. I can only wait for his mercy to descend. So tat kale. Remember, the time will come. If you're sincere, you have an integrity, the time will come. Everything will come. The fruit of your chanting will come. If you're preaching Krishna consciousness, and all of you are, then you should understand there'll be obstacles and there will be difficult times, some good times. But in all of those circumstances, one should consider tatkale. I do my part and Lord Chaitanya will do his. He's given an order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So then one has a choice. What is the choice? You take it or don't take it. So if you take it, then you can say, okay, I have an order. I'm following it. And I'm going to go spread Krishna consciousness. Now, what if obstacles come? Might they come? Yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Feel better? Yeah. Okay, so what if obstacles come? We don't mind. Of course, you may lose a little sleep. But then you'll right yourself because you'll remember, tatkale. When the time is right, everything will come. Have integrity, have sincerity. Go on with your duty to the best of your ability according to what you can understand through your God-given intelligence to do the right thing. And you go on with that because Lord Chaitanya said, go forth, spread Krishna consciousness. And he's your backer. He's going to back you on this. He's, as Kaviraj Goswami says, he's the greatest capitalist. And he's got a lot. He's got all the investment capital you need, just waiting. You just have to do your part, and then the infusions of spiritual energy and other arrangements that need to take place in this world will come by his mercy. You might look around at New York City and think, how do these people build all these huge buildings like the? What is that? New York Life? Is that the building? MetLife. What do you need a big building like that for insurance anyway? I mean, insurance is, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody. You've got to take care of things in the world, but it's a little bit on edging towards kind of a scam, a little bit. Edging there. I didn't say it is. It's big, huge buildings. How does that happen? Well, it's awarded by the material nature. And you know, they didn't do anything much differently, except for, you know, try in their own way. If you go into these big corporations and find out what everybody's doing, most people take an extra time off because they can get away with it, charging extra things to the corporation. How do they get so much money? And what are they using it for? It's awarded naturally by the material nature. There's a plan behind it, and Krishna knows what he's doing. And then similarly for us, we shouldn't lament any situation. We need to think, if I'm sincere, I have integrity, and tat kale, I wait for the right time, I'm patient. Krishna will bring everything necessary. So taking this attitude, we can have great strength. In fact, it is the hallmark of an advanced devotee. Mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, evam vritta swap priyanama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta uchar hasatyato rotiti roti gayati madhavam dhrititi lokapayaha. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto from Kavi Yogendra, that Srila Ishvara Puri mentioned to, gave to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his initiation, telling him about the results of chanting Hare Krishna. He said, your heart will melt eventually, and then you'll become like a madman, and you won't care for outsiders. And in the commentary to this verse, it's mentioned by the acharyas that some people show external symptoms and some don't. Some advanced devotees don't show any external symptoms. But he said all advanced devotees show two symptoms consistently. One is steadiness. Steadiness in practice. This is a sign that one's advancing in devotional service. You can't fake that. There's a lot of other stuff you can fake, but you can't fake steadiness. And the other is called mukhya prasada, and that means that merciful vibrations always come from that person's mouth. And it means if your heart is settled because you feel in spiritual integrity and sincerity, you're settled in yourself that you know, I've decided I'm going to surrender. And I'm doing this because Krishna said, surrender, I'm going to surrender, and you're feeling content because of that. Then what you speak to other people will have a positive effect. It will be prasada. It will be merciful. It will be for their benefit. So these two things are noticeable, and they're the symptoms of advancement. And now we'll take a few reflections because we have 6 minutes left. And that reflection means anything you heard that's stuck in your mind that you'd like to broadcast back out. Ram Roy Prabhu.
Prabhupada told Mr. Rubin here in New York on the park bench in 1965, early 1966, there are devotees, the time is separating them from us. So Prabhupada was doing his duty, and his patient did. He would also say, I'm an old man, I can go at any time, I'm simply racing against time. So Prabhupada either describes the mode of passion, intense, you know, endeavor, and like that. Whereas a devotee, he is intensely desirous to fulfill the mission of the Lord, does his level best to Prabhupada's case for the utmost. So say something about that.
Well, you know, so many times you read Prabhupada's letters, which you can, they're all available, you'll find in his dealings with devotees all over the world who he empowered to go out and spread Krishna consciousness, that he didn't have a passionate approach. Oftentimes when things were lost, like for instance a property was lost here and there, and Prabhupada would do, he would be methodical, but dispassionate. And ultimately, he had a saying, what's done is done, now move on. And so this is a symptom of sattva. Yes?
I'll be the last man to surrender Bombay Jewel to that rascal, Mr. Mayor. That's after the disciples canceled the sale.
This is Vira Ras. This comes from the spiritual platform. Vira Ras means that when one feels that somebody is challenging Krishna, the devotee feels protective. And this is not from Rajagun, but this is from the spiritual platform. That when one understands clearly what Krishna's intentions are, because he has complete faith and knowledge of the Shastra, Guru Sharu and Shastra, is following that life and is also detached from one's own aggrandizement for making any of these things manifest. One has the right to develop this kind of vira ras, or this type of a fiery mood, that I will protect Krishna and his assets. So that's from the transcendental platform. Yes, Adhidhe Prabhu. I'm just laughing because there's so many great souls here. When I look out, I think, how did I get here? Please go ahead.
We're basking in your, everything you're saying. And what comes across is not just your, ability to present scripture very clearly, but your personality. You as a person are, faith in this, you're transmitting it. What is this? Hearing the words from the pure devotee is very pleasing to the ear and satisfying to the heart. So we thank you for your life of Krishna consciousness, which is giving you this ability to present it in a way that moves us. Thank you very much. Besides what you're saying, it's you that we're grateful for.
Oh, as they say in Japan, Kochira Koso, right back at you. it reminded me of this. going out in book distribution, sometimes they go out in book distribution, they go, oh, that sounds pretty scary, walking out the door. I cross the threshold, and what am I going to do? This is, don't do anything. Just don't do anything. What I mean by that is, don't do anything, don't be the doer. Don't think that I'm going to do something. Just be there and do the right thing. I'm giving that as one example. It applies to all our services. One has to have courage to move through this world. It comes from a French word, which means core, which means the heart. It emanates from here. If one has this determination in one's heart that despite how scared I am to move forward, and there are daunting situations, whether you're... whatever level of service you're at and whatever category of service you're doing, there are going to be obstacles. And they can be kind of scary at every level. And one of the ways in which we advance in devotional service is by taking this advice to heart and then going ahead with our service despite the fact that we know, or it seems as if, we're going to get creamed. It's like, if I do this, everybody's going to say, or what if they're going to misunderstand, whatever it is. But Krishna said it, I'm going to do it anyway. And Prabhupada did this. When he came to America, so many people complained from afar. These were God brothers. These are peers and advanced devotees, apparently. And, they're all dumping these kinds of things on him, that, why are you doing it like this or like that? And again, he would come back to this point. It's not me. I'm following the order of Lord Chaitanya. I heard it from my spiritual master. I go on doing this. Even though I'm insignificant, the order is significant. So one can take shelter of that and continue with the process. And we thank you very much for taking your valuable time to congregate here at this holy place. We pray on this Ekadashi day during Purushottam Mas at the very embarkation of the sacred Rath Yatra festival, that we may have strength here at the Bhakti Center to spread from this place, develop integrity and sincerity that will emanate all over the world and expand the Krishna conscious movement. Everyone agrees with this. Please say Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpdarusha kripasanabhavacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.